Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 53, 1, 2, and 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 53. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first 14 verses of Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, in the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we are called in this morning to stand and in a public way to lead this our flock in prayer and supplication unto thee, the Most High God. And who is sufficient for these things? For we do not know the hearts of this people, but thou who knowest the heart of each and every one, wilt thou grant to us all together the spirit of prayer and supplication, and that there may also in heaven be one who does stand and plead for each one of us and before thy holy throne, as we have heard, an advocate to go before and to stand in the breach, and to plead the case of those that had sinned against God, who is able to lay his own merits before the throne and before the judgment seat, which are a complete satisfaction of the perfection of that law by which we must be judged. Lord, that thou may so plead for us in this day, when we are gathered in thy house, because from our side it is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But we do appear in thy house of prayer, that place that is pleasing unto thee. And when it may be so, by way of the means that thou hast given unto us, oh, could it be, and that there is for us in heaven a mediator who may stand in our breach, and who may plead for us, and who may take our supplications and wash and cleanse them from all their sin, and present them before the Father. And because then alone can we be received, then we would be received in Thee, the only begotten Son of God. Oh, could it please Thee then, out of free and sovereign grace, so to look upon us and our children this day, to atone also for each one of us. Oh, that thou wouldst not judge us according to our many, many sins. For we go from commandment to commandment, and then we must stop at each one, and each one put his hand in his own bosom, and then it comes out so leprous. Lord, oh, that thou may instruct us, each one in our own wretchedness, that we may receive a place of great humility before thee, that our unworthiness may be opened before our own eyes, that we may be given to see, even as thou dost see, in thy great holiness, in thy majesty, in thy righteousness. That we may have eyes to behold our great and deep fall from the height of such a creation wherein we were created to worship thee. And we have fallen so far away that there is no more an ability, and there is no more a desire. But so we beseech thee in this morning hour, who hast given unto us the means of grace, who hast instituted a ministry, and who hast sent us forth also, even unto this flock, we beseech thee, so to use the means in our midst, amongst young and old, for true conversion this day. Lord, it is a day when we are called to stop a moment, to cease all the labors of our hands, to turn unto thee, to beseech thee for the needs of this life, but especially that we may consider from whom we have departed, that we also may consider that thou givest unto us thy word, and that thou dost call each and every one of us, turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die? Oh, for a moment this day, a call to stop from all the busyness and the vanity of this world, and to consider the need of our soul for a great and never-ending eternity. Lord, the means that thou hast instituted, that thou wouldst build up thy own church. Oh, today, that day is here. Oh, today and in this very hour, we may be together in thy house of prayer. And then we need a miracle, thou sayest. For except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, then we begin. Oh, we begin by beseeching thee, by calling upon thy holy name, the name of the everlasting God, the name of the Almighty, the name of the All-Sufficient One. O thou who art the beginning and the continuance and the ending of for thy church, oh, we beseech thee in these moments that thou would so look upon us to send thy Spirit in our midst. Oh, to work that miracle that would give life from the dead to the glory of thy name to a never, never ending eternity. Lord, do it for thy name's sake because thou canst not do it for our sake. That thou wouldst hear the supplication and the demand, the demanding intercession of thine only begotten Son, who has so fulfilled everything for the satisfaction of thy justice. O Lord, take reasons then out of him whom thou always lovest, him of whom thou didst say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. O thou hast promised to give to him a seed that would serve him. O could they come from our midst? Could they come from our children, from our parents, from our grandparents? Lord, do it then for thy name's sake. Remember all thy children, the condition of their life. Thou who hast given life, thou hast given all that belongs to that life. Thou givest hunger, thou givest thirst, and thou givest a cry. And thou givest desire, thou givest love. And Lord, thou alone art able to fill the need that thou plantest in their heart. And we do not know where they are, and we do not know who they are, but thou hast called them by their name. Oh, there are those that do not know their right hand from their left. Oh, they must be instructed step by step. Thou callest us, of all men. Oh, thou callest us to lead thy people. Lord, how shall we do so when we are so ignorant of ourselves? Oh, could it please thee then, as thou hast promised us to fill our mouth with thy words. O thou who knowest the heart of that people and what they need in that place where they are traveling, in the lot that thou hast given unto them. O lead them then by us from step to step. And could it please thee in this day to give a little instruction, a rebuke, comfort unto that people upon the way. Look on all the afflicted ones, supplying all the needs and the cares which can be so, so many. Remember all that are oppressed in this world. All thou didst stand for them, and we can read it in thy holy word. And thou didst command thy people to take care of them. All thou didst show that thou, who that thou wast, when thou wouldst show who thou wast, then thou didst say that the blind receive their sight, and the deaf hear, and the dumb speak, and the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the poor, they have the gospel preached to them. O Lord, give us then to remember the poor in their places. And wilt thou remember them all this day, that the meek may eat and be satisfied, and be with all that are afflicted and sick, all those that mourn. And remember our brother, both of them, that may not be with us in this day, in the places where they also are, and laboring in the midst of flock in Calgary, laboring also in the midst of our young people, where they are. Lord, wilt thou Give a blessing in both of those places and wherever thy word is brought in this world. O extend thy kingdom, and wilt thou glorify thy own name. Be with us, Lord, in these moments. Be with us in this hour. We beseech thee in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 202, stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. 202, stanzas 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things, we read. And so, congregation, the history continues. The scriptures, they do take a very particular notice of history. That is the history of God's church. That is the following of one point, one event upon another. And why? Because there is an order. There is an order in the dealings of the Lord with his own people. We can see that it is not all mixed up. That is not haphazard. But the Lord knows what he does, and he knows why he does it, and he knows also when he does it. Do you believe that, people of the Lord? Maybe you ask sometimes, why? This, that, and maybe why this or that now? Why this or that at this time? But everything that is directed by the Lord. Read only the history of Mordecai and go from step to step and see not whether the Lord, he is guiding everything for the sake of his own people. Do you believe also that every step that the Lord leads you in the life of your soul that is guided by the Lord? Step by step. When we give our children instruction, then we also do this. Step by step. Why? Well, first, then we lay a foundation. And then we are building upon that foundation. And so the Lord, he is also doing it with his own children. And we wish to consider that further in this morning hour from the words of our text, which you can find in the first five verses of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 5, wherein we read that Abraham is tried. And we see in our first thought an evident readiness. And we see that evident readiness, especially in the first verse. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. An evident readiness. Second, a painful injunction or a painful demand or command in verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains in which I will tell thee of. Thus a painful injunction. Third, an evident cleaving. And we see that in the fifth verse. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Thus, Abraham tried, first, an evident readiness. Second, a painful injunction. And third, an evident cleaving. And it came to pass after these things. What things were they? They are things, congregation, that we have heard of. And we have heard of what? We have heard of Abraham and how that he was dwelling in the midst of this land of Canaan, how that he was living off, as it were, for many years already of his own work, and with his hope and his expectation in an Ishmael. And we have heard of the promise of the Lord concerning an Isaac. And we have heard of an Abraham who is pleading for an Ishmael. And we have heard of the birth of that promised child. And we have heard of the enmity of Ishmael against this child. We have heard of the enmity of that way of works against that way of grace. We have heard of the sending forth, the casting out of that bondwoman and her son. Oh, we have heard a little. Also, when we may have been together on Friday evening in Calgary, then we have spoken a little also there of Abraham again and the peace that may be in his household when the Lord may give to him indeed to cast out that bondwoman, and then he may receive the enjoyment of all that was left. And what was that? That was that blessed Isaac. And so the Lord may also give to him that settled place, make his enemies also on the outside even to be at peace with him. We see him dedicating that place of worship unto Jehovah, the Lord, the everlasting God. And now we read, and it came to pass after these things. Solomon says that we do not know what a day may bring forth. And so Abraham receives this place, but so it also was with him. Then he is on his pilgrimage and life that goes on and life that is never the same. No, life that is continually changing. And then especially for God's church, because the Lord is leading that people further from step to step in the ways of grace. And now those leadings, they are to that people unknown. They are unknown. The Lord, he hides the future from them. And what do we then read here concerning Abraham? And it came to pass, we read, after these things that God did tempt Abraham. How, congregation, is this possible? Because James, he writes, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempted he any man. Thus, how is it now possible that we read here that God did tempt Abraham? Well, there is a great difference in the way that we use this word temptation. Temptation, that is actually the meaning of that word, is a trial. A trial. That is the way it is, children.
That is the way it is, young people. Will you consider that? With every temptation that is coming before you in this life, it is a trial. It is a trial to see whether you now are going to walk in the ways of the Lord or no. Every temptation that is a trial, that is calling out to you, and that is saying, choose you this day whom thou wilt serve. Will you serve the Lord? Or will you choose to serve whom? Or him who is laying these temptations before you? A temptation. That is, that we use that word in the sense of a temptation to sin, to depart from the ways of the Lord, to transgress his commandments. A temptation. Does the Lord do this? All such temptations are not laid before us by the Lord that we might sin. No, but yet we read in the Word of God that the Lord does try his people. And what does that mean? That means that the heart will be known, what is living in the heart, that will become manifest by the actions. That is a trial. By what we do, by what we say, thus the outward that is making manifest what is inward, that is in the life of each and every one of us, that God did tempt Abraham. There are some people who say, no, the Lord does not do this. For example, Alfred Edersheim, he writes a beautiful history of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, and they are also read by our own people. And they are, in many cases, very beautiful, but congregation, we cannot agree with him in everything. Then he writes in the Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah that about that Syrophoenician woman, how that the Lord Jesus answered her not a word. And then we read also that the Lord Jesus answered and said unto her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And what does this man say? He says we recoil from the explanation that supposes that Christ, he has tried this woman with these words, or that he has done this with the intention of trying to draw out the faith of that woman. We recoil from such an explanation. Congregation, why should we recoil from this? when it is so evident in the Word of God that so the Lord is dealing with His own people. We instruct our children in the catechism classes of our first father and that covenant of works, the demand of the entire law, and that symbol that the Lord has placed before His eyes of that law, that test, that trial of His obedience, whether the intention of His heart that was to walk in the ways of the Lord or no. And then it is clear in so many places and so clear also here in the words of our text that God did tempt or try Abraham. What might be, if we may in awe ask such a question, what might be the purpose of the Lord in so dealing with His people, to tempt them, to try them? Because is there now anything hid from the Lord in order that He needs to know the thoughts and the intents of the heart of His creature by their outward deeds? Does He not already know what is living in their heart? Why will the Lord deal with His people in such a way? James says that it is for justification. Was not Abraham justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Thus he said it was for justification. But of course, we cannot leave it there because that needs an explanation. And why does that need an explanation? Because we read that Paul also speaks about justification. And Abraham, and he says that if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But he says, not before God. Thus he says that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That sounds confusing, but that matter itself, that actually is not so very confusing at all. The same words, they are used, but there are two completely different things that are being spoken about. We do that also in our language today. Paul speaks about justification before God. He speaks about that which is necessary to make a man right with God. And he says this is not of a man's works, but that is alone found in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. James speaks about something altogether different. James speaks about the evidences of that righteousness. He speaks about the evidences of that faith before men, before one another. And how now can We know from each other what is living in our heart. We know that congregation by our deeds, not even so much by our words, because we have a wretched, sinful, deceitful heart, can speak many words, but especially by our deeds. And so we read that likewise, Rahab the harlot was justified by works when she received the spies and sent them out another way. No, she cannot with that appear before God. Why, children? Because she lied. And can that which is imperfect be our righteousness before God? That is impossible. No, she was not justified before God by her works. But it was her work, it was her deed that has made it evident to all men what was now living in her heart. How could we know what was living in her heart if we did not know her deed? If we do not see her deed, how can we know of that faith that lives in the heart of David except that he has killed a lion? That he has killed a bear? And that he has killed Goliath? When that lame man was brought to the Lord Jesus, and his friends came, and they broke up the tiles on that roof, and they let that man down before the Lord Jesus Christ, then what do we read that the Lord Jesus says? He says, it says in God's word, that he saw their faith. Now we cannot see faith. No, but it was by their works that their faith that was evident. And that is now what James means when he says that it is not by faith that a man is justified, but by his works. That is, that it is his works which make that faith to be evident before all men. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, for whose sake did Abraham need to be tempted. It was not for the sake of God, because God knew what was living in the heart of Abraham. He had planted it there. He had planted it there. But for whose sake was it? It was congregation for the sake of man. Which men? In the first place, it was for the sake of Abraham. And why? That faith that lives in the heart. Do you have faith? So how may I know? That faith that lives in his heart may become evident unto himself by his life. That is one of the ways that the Lord gives assurance unto his church. Because there is assurance in every exercise of faith. Belongs to faith. Then you believe. Then you know. There is assurance. And it was by that assurance that David was strong, children, to go against that lion, to go against that bear, and to go against Goliath, because he was sure that the Lord, he was going before him. There is assurance in every act of faith. But there is also another kind of assurance. The Lord is giving assurance in the life of his own children when they may be given to observe the fruits of faith, when they may be given to observe the evidences of faith in their own life that come not from themselves, but proceed out of this great gift of God, by which they may know that that faith exists. What does David say? He says, "This is my comfort in my affliction." What was his comfort? "That thy word has quickened me." Thus, that is the grace of reflection for the assuring of faith. And that reflection is so important. Why so important? Because the apostle says to that church to make your calling and election sure, to examine yourself whether ye be in the faith, and know ye therefore that they which be of faith, these same are the children of Abraham. Thus, it is for the church's sake. It is for Abraham's sake himself. But it is also for the sake of others. In that church of all ages, that Abraham be tempted, that it may be written here in the word of God for all the generations that are to come. Asaph says, why? That they might set their hope in God. O children, when you may read of that faith of Abraham, oh, does it ever make you to set your hope in God? And that we may know what faith is, that we may know the things that flow out of faith. Why? That we may prove our own selves. Why? What does Paul say? Because Abraham, he is the father of the circumcision, not to the circumcision only, that is, not to the Jews only, but he says to all those who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Thus, for the sake of Abraham, for the sake of that church to know what faith is, the Lord tries Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. Sometimes, congregation, we read the word of God and we think that maybe we know what the will of the Lord is for us. And yet there can be so many questions. You say, do I now take this wrongly? When I read the word of God, it is in the circumstances in which I am. Does the Lord say this to me, or does the Lord not say this to me? What a riddle that can be. If there was ever a time that it was necessary that a man knew for sure that something was truly from the Lord, was that not in this temptation of Abraham? And yet we read of no question in the heart of Abraham concerning this matter. And said unto him, Abraham. Thus the Lord calls him by his own name. And children, if your father, if your mother, they call you by your own name, then you know, because you hear their voice and you hear your name, then you know that they are speaking just to you. And so Abraham, he heard the voice of the Lord. And he heard his own name, and then he knew that this was the command of the Lord unto himself. And said unto him, Abraham. Is the Lord different? Or is the Lord the same? You say the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We do not say that there is never a question in the heart of God's children, especially concerning providential things, whether it is now the word of the Lord unto them. But in those things that are most essential, the Lord congregation is calling his children by their own name. By their own name. So that there is no question that the Lord is speaking unto me. So how does the Lord do that? Does the Lord say, children, does he say, David? Does he say, Sarah? Does he say, Daniel? No. No. How is that then? That a person may know. We will show you a moment how that is. The Spirit of the Lord, he equates the name of a person with the condition of his soul. They are one and the same. They are one and the same. That is me, myself. We ask you, was your name ever by the Spirit of the Lord made one and the same? One and the same. With the name sinner. Was that ever by the Spirit of the Lord made unto you your name, by faith? This is the way that the Lord is giving his blessing unto his people. Why? Because it is the way that the Lord is applying his own word, that he is speaking. When he says that he sits and he eats with publicans and with sinners, then you can imagine that such a boy and such a girl, they're hearing their own name. Their own name. Did the Spirit of the Lord ever equate your name with that name that we read in the Word of God? Lost. Lost. That is the way that the Lord is revealing his only begotten Son in a personal way to a man's own soul. When he is so convinced, and when the Lord declares in his own word that he is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So the Lord is by faith instructing his children and said unto him, Abraham, no, there is no question. The Lord opens his ears. He hears the voice of the Lord. He hears his own name. Does Abraham now know what the Lord is going to say? No. His people do not know that. But what does Abraham say? He says this, Behold, here I am. You know what it says actually? It says, Behold me. Behold I. How is it with us? Do we say the same? Or if the Lord comes and he stops us and he calls our name, then we will have no choice. Then we will stand still. Then we will be forced to stand still. And then we cannot go one step. But congregation, how was it with Abraham? When the Lord is coming and influencing the heart of the people, then he says, Abraham, and he says, Behold, here I am. Here I am. That old nature does not want to listen to the Lord. And that old nature does not want to submit to the Lord. But see now what that new nature does. It says, Behold, Lord, look, look. At everything. Look at my heart. Look and see. Me. Here I am. And I, Lord, I am at thy service. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It was so necessary for Abraham, seeing what was coming. Though Abraham didn't know it, but you see how the Lord is preparing Abraham. He prepares him. And how that there is this time of rest that goes before this trial. Abraham, Behold, Here I am. And what does the Lord say? And it is late already, but we will begin a moment. Our second thought, a painful injunction. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You have a son, daughter. What is that that wells up within your heart at the mention of such a word? Son. Only a parent can know it. Thy son. Only son. Do you have an only son? The widow of Nain, she had an only son. And the Shunammite woman, she also had an only son. Does your son, fathers, mothers, does your son have a name? And what is that that is stirred up in your heart at the mention of the name of your son? Or do you ever lay now your son, your sons, your daughters, by name in your secret chamber before the Lord? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Who is speaking? It is the Lord. You know what it says in the Statham Bible? It says each word had been enough to pierce the father's heart. To pierce the father's heart. Thy son, thine only Isaac, it says, whom thou lovest. But that is not all. Why not? Because we all have flesh. We have children. And we know the love of the flesh. And Abraham knew that too, because there he had also an Ishmael. But what does the Lord say here? He says, thy son, thine only son, Isaac. You say, what about Ishmael? Thus we see there is something else here. It is not just the flesh. It is not just his natural children that the Lord is touching a tender chord in the heart of Abraham when he speaks about his only son. Oh, there is really so much in that. Why? Because it has to do with the most essential things. And those most essential things, they are greater than the things of our flesh. When I was in New Jersey, I had still an old grandmother that was alive. And then I used to go to visit her. And she would be sitting there. And she was always reading a book, a good book. And one time I said to her, Grandma, How is it? You know what she said to me. She was a widow. And she said, I'm afraid that I miss my husband more than I miss the Lord. Now, we do not know if that was truly so or not. That is now for the Lord. But congregation, the love of the flesh that remains in the life of God's people, but that love for the Lord, that is different. That is higher. And in the end, that love that is going to exceed. Oh, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. In this son lies everything for Abraham. For time and for eternity, all is hope, all is expectation. And now the Lord, he mentions his name, and he arouses something in his heart. And when the Lord arouses something in his heart, then the Lord tells him what he has to do. But we're going to sing first. 4:15, the sixth stanza. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. 415, stanza 6. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And now, congregation, we see the greatness of the trial, because we see how that the Lord gives something to well up at the mention of the name of his son. Those things that Abraham loves, not only and in the first place of the flesh, but in the highest place concerning the things and for that never-ending eternity, and then the love in his heart that is made to burn, and then the Lord tells him what he has to do.
Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, in which I will tell thee of. That is the injunction, that is the demand of the Lord unto Abraham, who congregation can understand God, who can fathom his being, who can understand his essence, who can know him rightly in his attributes, and who can fathom the dealings and that the Lord is having with his own children. Who is able to foretell what is coming next? The next lesson, the next step in the life of his people. What trial, what temptation, how suddenly that settled life that can be uprooted, interrupted with turmoil, with perplexity, with riddles. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Abraham, he was a man that was acquainted with the trials of the Lord. He knew them in his life. What was his former trial? It was a trial of waiting. Waiting. That is often the trial of his church in this life. Many, many years had gone by. And in that struggle, Abraham did not go away from that struggle without wounds, without bruises. But he thought that he himself had to go first. He did not think that he had to wait so long for the Lord. But it was not so. And the Lord has instructed him in that trial. And now there is a new trial. And what is that trial? That is not just, that is not merely a trial of waiting, but it is a trial of a seeming outright contradiction to everything that the Lord has spoken unto him in his life. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. How can it be? Because Isaac has no issue. Isaac has no seed. Do you know what the Staten Bible says? It says, the Lord seems to know all the former promises, to know everything. That is, as it were, children, all that the Lord has spoken, that the Lord would take a pen
and he would cross it out. That it means nothing anymore. Or are there those who now walk in the steps of Abraham? How this can take place in one moment. And we cannot imagine the things in the life of the people that come in seeming direct contradiction to everything that the Lord has spoken in their life. And they're not man's doing, but the Lord's doing. The Lord's doing. But what do we see now? Just yet for a moment. In our last thought. An evident cleaving. What do we read? And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And saddled his ass. And took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son. And clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. It's one thing to say, is it not, children? One thing to say, and it is another thing to do. The Lord Jesus, he spoke about a young man. His father said, go work today in my vineyard. And that man, he said, I go, sir, but he never went. And now it is one thing for Abraham to say, behold, here I am. And now it is altogether another thing for Abraham to go forward. But what do we read? And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Who can fathom that obedience? The obedience of faith that is in opposition to all the contradiction, that is in opposition to all his flesh, that is in opposition to all his hopes and to all his expectations, to all the riddles that are living in his heart. How is it possible? By faith. That is what we read in the Word of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith. And what does faith do? What does faith do? Listen, we read it in the Word of God. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. What does faith do? Faith, congregation, that cleaves. That cleaves. Cleaves to what? It cleaves to the Lord. It cleaves to the Word of God. And it will not let him go. And it cleaves in the face of everything that is coming against it. And when something comes against it, then it is saying, but God is not a man that he should lie. And he is not the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Oh, what does that faith do?
It pleads. It pleads with the Lord. His truth. His faithfulness. Lord, remember. Remember unto thy servant that word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, what does that faith do? It encourages itself in the Lord its God. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Oh, faith. No, it says, I have not received it yet. It says, I do not know how it is ever possible to receive it. But it shall be well. It has to be. It cannot be otherwise. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Congregation, are we now strangers of this life? Are we now strangers, complete strangers of such a faith? The degree, the exercise, that will vary, but the character. The character of that faith and the fruit of that faith, that is always the same. So that the children of Abraham, all they may see themselves, just a little part, just a little child in their father. And it shall certainly be, they shall be blessed with the blessings of Abraham, who are of that faith of their father. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct and teach us. O give us also that same true and saving faith in all its exercises, from man's side brought into such turmoil, but cleaving unto thee, remember thy people in all the way wherein that thou dost lead them in the pilgrimage of this life. Bring us safely home. Give us desire to be together again in this afternoon hour. Help us from above. For Jesus' sake, amen. 416 stanzas 4 and 5. From the land beyond the Jordan, I bewail my misery. From the foothills of Mount Hermon, O my God, I think of thee. 4 and 5 of 416.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.